I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
It's the Short Beat Podcast.
And welcome to the Billboard Chart Beat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, a chart manager here at BILLBOARD.
All right, so we got a lot to get to this week on the charts. Hot 100, big shakeup in the top 10 this week with Mi Gente. Also, a new top 10 for Imagine Dragons and some different genre number ones after months where that really wasn't the case. So we'll talk about that. Really cool, our special guest this week. We're going to Nashville again with Jim Asker, our senior chart manager in Nashville. He's got the crew from American Country Countdown. Kix Brooks is the host. Longtime member of Brooks and Dunn with so many number ones on the country chart. Also, writer Suzanne Alexander is coming up and producer Lonnie Napier. So we'll get all into how American Country Countdown is put together each week. And Kix Brooks talking about being on the charts for so many years and now counting down the hits himself. So that's all coming up. Just want to mention a few things. And last week, we recorded our 2002 flashback countdown with Kelly Clarkson, our special guest, Fred Bronson as well. So I just thought it was kind of funny this week that how cyclical everything is, Trevor, how we were back in 2002, 15 years ago. And then who's number one on the album chart this week? The Billboard 200, Shania Twain, number one for the first time since about that same time, 2002 fall. So things always come back around like that.
Yeah, and how funny that, you know, somebody who was so, so young, fresh-faced, pop-focused back then, now having roots in Nashville, Kelly Clarkson living there, married to Reba's son-in-law and a manager. So there's a nice little pop country sort of wheelhouse going around right this time.
All right, and now the other thing we didn't talk about, because again, we taped this ahead of time, but I was a huge, still am, a huge Tom Petty fan. So, you know, sad news, I know. There's just been so much written and so much said about it, but just add my voice to the chorus of Petty fans. Yeah, huge loss. I think, you know, personally for me, I sort of consider myself lucky that I got into his music when I was about 14, 15 years old. That's when Full Moon Fever came out. He's in the Traveling Wilburys, and that's the age you kind of take music with you. So he, with me, kind of had that that placement where I got into his music right when music was starting to mean so much to me. So I've always carried him with me on that level, just because you discover an artist then when you're first discovering music.
Do you have any particular tracks that stand out as your Petty favorites?
Yeah, you know, one that I didn't expect anyone to really mention it this week. Obviously, Free Fallin' and some of the Full Moon Fever songs are getting most of the attention. I think it's great, a song like Wildflowers, which, you know, the title cut to his 94 album is sort of getting its own spotlight. But you wouldn't, I'm gonna assume you don't know this song, Trevor, from 1991, the album that was the follow-up to Full Moon Fever, Into the Great Wide Open, had a song on it called All the Wrong Reasons. I'm gonna play a little clip of it here. Tell me what you think this sounds like.
This it's not free falling. Oh yes, it is
free falling.
Oh yeah, because I the moment I said it's not free falling, I can like could continue that chord structure like right to the chorus.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he always kind of did a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a second alternate version of free falling, which had become the huge hit off Full Moon Fever. So maybe some of the thinking was, you know, let's put on a song on this album that kind of sounds like that. And it was never a single, but just a personal favorite. I always liked that song.
You know, when I was, so the first time I probably really got even familiar with Tom Petty was, I think, maybe for a lot of people who obviously didn't know him when he played the Super Bowl 2008.
You're bringing up maybe my only bad Tom Petty memory.
Really? I was going to say, because Gary gave me pause. I mean, that was the first time I had ever, you know, and it was a few years after the Janet Jackson thing, so right. I think people were a little like, oh, here's a, you know, here's some old dudes playing because they're safe choices or whatnot. But it was quite, for an artist that I didn't know, I mean, obviously to be playing that caliber of event has to be well known to so many millions of people. And I thought, I mean, it seemed like it was a nice, like, a nice, like, just sort of comfort moment for a lot of people.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't nearly as sort of bland or unfilling or just kind of who is this guy that I walked in there thinking at the same time. Now that I think about it, I also know why that's a horrible memory for you, because it's not about Tom Petty. Tom Petty did his job.
Right.
It was Tom Brady and Randy Moss who did not do their job.
18-0. That was the season. Patriots were undefeated, lost to New York in the Super Bowl.
Eli Manning found a way.
I remember one of the headlines the next day, which is really clever, but I think to this day I still don't find it funny. It was in the Boston sports pages, Tom Brady and the Heartbreakers, because they broke the famous
hearts
in Boston.
That's
Tom Brady and the Heartbreakers.
That is good. That is good. But
great show, and that's kind of cool that you, who didn't know his music, totally got it just from seeing that.
I mean, you know, the music is a sort of one thing that I was still trying to figure it out, because I'm not personally into rock a whole lot, but there was something that was just genuinely good spirited about it.
Right. And the only other thing to mention real quick, I guess I should technically congratulate you, Trevor. You're from Houston. I'm from Boston. Astros beat the Red Sox.
The Astros did beat the Red Sox. And they are not the only person from Houston who's winning this week. We got a nice nice superstar. Our hometown celebrity is back where she belongs in the top 10 of the Hot 100 this week. Here are this week's top 10 songs on the Billboard Hot 100, as determined by you.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Number 10. Number 9.
This is how we do it down in Puerto Rico. I just want to hear you screaming, ay bendito. I can go forever cuando esté contigo.
Pasito a pasito. Number 8.
And it'd be nice for me to take it easy on ya, but nah. Baby, I'm sorry.
Number 7.
I was lightning before the thunder.
Number 6. Number 5.
What you made me do, look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do, look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do, look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do.
Number 4.
I've been taking my time. I feel like I'm out of my mind. It feel like my life ain't mine. I finally wanna be alive. I finally wanna be alive.
Number 3.
Willie William, Beyonce.
Freeze!
Los DJ no miente, le gusta mi gente. Y eso se fue muy bien. No le bajamos, mas nunca paramos. Es otro palo y
bravo. Number 2.
I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man. I feel just like a all my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star.
And number 1.
Now I make money moves.
say I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss who a worker, bitch. I make bloody moves. Bloody moves.
All right, wrapping us up for 3 weeks in a row now. That is the one, the only Cardi B. Bodak Yellow still holding strong at number one 3 weeks in a row, as mentioned. Kind of a little bit of a wordy stat, but worth throwing out there. I've seen a couple people actually get a little excited about this. So as we mentioned, when she first hit number one a few weeks ago, Cardi B, Lauryn Hill, the only two female rappers to have number one hits all by themselves with no guests, no other credited artists, just the two of them. So Lauryn Hill, back in 1998, 2 weeks at number one for Doo Wop, That Thing. And so now that Cardi B is number one for 3 weeks, she takes the title of the longest running number one by a female rapper all to herself.
Are you surprised that that's only happened twice? I mean, I know female rappers, it's not like you're going back to the 50s for that being a thing, but two times in the last 20 years?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's just so hard when you think of like, a lot of MCs, you know, who, I mean, the guys just unfortunately, in a lot of ways, really dominate the conversation. You know, it's a different question. If you ask somebody who's the best rapper, people think Jay, people think Tupac, people think Biggie, people think, you know, whoever else you want to throw in there, Eminem, whatever. But you don't even think of a woman. Now, ask somebody who they think the best singer is, and you'll get a mix of men and women. You might get an Aretha. You might get a Whitney. But you may get, I don't know, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Paul McCartney, Bob Dylan. Not Bob Dylan. Songwriter, for sure. Singer, maybe not.
In
defense of Bob Dylan?
Well, sort of. But in 12th grade, I took a music class. And there was a kid who didn't want to sing. And and the teacher said, why? And he said, I sound like Bob Dylan. And you know what her response was?
Well, Bob Dylan made $1 trillion off singing.
That's basically, she said, Bob Dylan makes a lot of money sounding like Bob Dylan.
I like that. I know that's right. They made it work. But yeah, so to the point of that women can be in the singing game and in the songwriter game even, but have not penetrated the rap game the same way.
Right.
And obviously, there have been, you know, plenty of female MCs over the years, from, you know, MC Light, Left Eye, Queen Latifah, obviously Nicki, Cardi, whoever. And they've come close, you know. Missy, probably the most consistently to come close without getting there. Eve also, I think people forget, had two number two hits
right
on the Hot 100. So she was right there. But I think that kind of reflects the close but no cigar that, unfortunately still is the conversation. Hopefully people seeing Cardi, you know, maybe inspired to pick up the mic and give it a shot. So, you know, maybe this is a thing, and hopefully it won't take at least 20 years before the next one.
Right. So that's number one. Rockstar by Post Malone, featuring 21 Savage. Still number two. That's how it's been for the last 3 weeks. Tight race, actually. Cardi B and Post Malone is not separated by too much this week. And Cardi B was down 3% in overall chart points. Rockstar was up 14%. So if that were to continue next week, that could mean that Rockstar could overtake it this week. We don't have all the projections for next week, but it's at least moving in that direction. And Rockstar is really starting to kick in on airplay. Bodak Yellow still has a huge lead in airplay. It goes top 10 this week on the Radio Songs chart. But Rockstar is really building. Streams were back up this week. So we'll see how it looks next week. But certainly within realm of possibility, could be number one.
And pretty fascinating that, I mean, the song debuted at number two, and I think people kind of thought the bottom might fall out, as, you know, wouldn't be entirely surprising. But obviously, it's still holding strong. And I think for an artist like Post Malone, who we kind of mentioned is not, you know, not sort of this A-list superstar who you'd expect this from, frankly. Great to see that happening. And also, I'll note, right now, at least when we're taping this on Tuesday afternoon, U.S. Spotify, Post Malone is numbers one and two. I Fall Apart, the song from a Stoney album that is making its way up the charts, hits the top 40 of the Hot 100 this week. And this song was never a single, not really is intended to be a single, but went around after this viral performance of the song on Facebook and Twitter. Streaming is just blowing up for the song, and it's not stopping either. I mean, this viral clip has been out for about 2 weeks or so, and so you'd think that, you know, like most things, it has its 3-4 day shelf life and kind of moves on. But, I mean, for that to happen, I mean, who would have guessed at the top of 2017 – I know Despacito was an unheard of story. Yeah. I know a lot of things, but you got to put the sort of emergence of Post Malone much more than just congratulations in the top 10, but now with Rockstar and I Fall Apart as one of the most like unlikely events of 2017 in charts.
And Rockstar is still without a proper video. So if that were to suddenly drop, that could almost guarantee it maybe to get to number one.
Yeah. I mean, if Cardi wants a fourth week, she's going to have to fight for it.
And number three, we heard J Balvin and Lily William now featuring Beyonce, number three.
It is Beyonce back in the top 10, first time since Formation last year. And I know it's a little bit weird because the video had come out so long before, but because it was private and because there was no, you know, song up for sale and how Lemonade was rolled out on title only, a little, you know, not the conventional kind of rollout that people would have expected. But her first top 10 since then, highest charting song since Drunken Love back in 2014. So I know, and there's been talk, you know, definitely about the last couple albums and really her shift this decade from less single focus pop to more sort of complete album projects, if Beyonce could really be a songs force again. And at least this week, she's definitely answered the question that, you know, Beyonce on a record is still an event and still a huge thing for them. So congrats to them. Of course, the first top 10, both for J Balvin and for Willie Williams. So definitely a nice move for them, too.
And we'll see where that goes next week. It could keep gaining. It's still building an airplay. Obviously, it has the huge streaming and sales jump this week because Beyonce joined, and this was the tracking week. So we'll see if it continues or if it was a first week gain. But you know, we saw with Despacito when Bieber joined, wound up making history, 16 weeks at number one, tying One Sweet Day for the record. So we'll see what kind of legs the song has going forward now. And the other part of that is it's the new number one on the Hot Latin Songs chart. So it's kind of interesting all of a sudden what's happened here the last couple of weeks. It felt like every week for months, and this was exactly the case, you'd look at the other genre charts, Hot Country Songs, Hot Rock Songs, and Hot Latin Songs, and just for weeks and weeks it was the same title at number one. The number one rock title for so long was Believer by Imagine Dragons, number one Despacito Latin. And over on country, it was Sam Hunt. It was in the top 10 a little bit on the Hot 100 with Body Like a Back Road. And you almost knew that every week those were going to be number one on each chart. All of a sudden now, in the last 2 weeks, we have new number ones. So change of the season, that's suddenly fall. We have all these new number ones. Despacito, no longer number one on Latin. Songs after 35 weeks at number one. Could go back to number one if Mi Gente doesn't hold. But Mi Gente, number one on Hot Latin Songs this week on the rock chart. We're here in the top 10. Portugal the Man, Feel It Still, is now on its second week at number one after 29 weeks at number one for Believer. And again, we heard Imagine Dragons with Thunder. That's now number two. So a little shakeup in rock. And even country, after all these weeks, a record 34 weeks at number one for Sam Hunt. Body Like a Back Road, as of this week, a new number one for the first time since February. It's Kane Brown featuring Lauren Elena and What Ifs.
Of those three, which one is probably the most surprising to you that it lasted all this time?
I guess I'd rule out Despacito, because that just became total pop culture, absolutely everywhere. Imagine Dragons, at this point, have... they've become pretty immersed in pop and rock and crossing over. So sort of another hit from then, I guess.
So process of elimination.
I guess it's Sam Hunt, who had a bunch of number one hits from his first album. But to suddenly go 34 weeks and cross over the way it has, I don't think anyone really saw that coming. So I guess Sam Hunt. That's my answer.
I like it. I would agree.
All right. So speaking of country, let's get into the real heart of this week's Chartbeat podcast, our industry insider interview this week with three people behind American Country Countdown. Host Kix Brooks of Brooks and Dunn for so many years, number one after number one hit through the 90s and 2000s. Writer Suzanne Alexander and producer Lonnie Napier sat down with Jim Asker, who oversees our country charts, Christian, Bluegrass, other charts in Nashville, to talk all things American Country Countdown. And part of this, why we timed it, is the show just took on Billboard's Country Airplay chart. So when you listen to American Country Countdown now, it's based on Billboard's Country Airplay chart. So we're
Yay,
excited about that.
Licensing revenue.
So it's cool, but just the perspective that Kix Brooks brings, because he knows better than almost anyone what's it like to go up and down the charts each week. He talks about that too, kind of that interesting perspective of not just being a host, but one of the most accomplished artists ever in country.
I saw the light, I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again, I'm a brand new man.
Hey, everybody. It's Jim Asker from Billboard on the Billboard Chart Beat podcast. And this week we have the crew from the American Country Countdown. And I'm excited because you guys keep my job for an extra 6 months as you transition to the Billboard chart.
Woohoo! Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Suzanne, you sound excited.
I am. I'm very excited.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Long time coming, actually.
So we are talking with host Kix Brooks and writer Suzanne Alexander and producer Lonnie Napier.
Yes, and we, you know, American Country Countdown has a long history and tradition with Billboard magazine. So yeah, it's great. We've been a little on again, off again, but it is great to be back with Billboard.
How did the three of you guys get together, Kix? All three of you.
Evolution. Yeah.
You started in 2006, right?
I did, and had a guy, bless his heart, who was producing the show, who had never produced a show. He'd been an on-air guy in Arkansas, and it was just, you know, this show inherited from Casey Kasem, obviously started this show, the longest-running country music countdown show out there.
1973.
And Kingsley did it for a lot of years, and then they asked me to do it, and I asked Bob for his blessing, and he said, get after it, I'm doing something else, and you'll be great at it, and I sucked at it, and I really needed somebody who had some experience, because I had none. I'm a hillbilly singer, and, you know, was not so pretentious to think I would be any good at it, but I did think I'd get some help. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was kind of just mumbling through 4 hours of counting songs down, and it wasn't very well put together, and fortunately, Lonnie came in. Donna Britt at the time was a buddy they had brought her in who had some experience. And Lonnie, had, of course, had been with Wolfman Jack for 20-something years and had also been doing a thing with Cody and kind of a classic countdown sort of thing. So he had great experience, been in the business a long time. And we hit it off right away because he really didn't patronize me in any way. You know, it was just like, hey, you can't say that. That sucks. And I'm like, well, you're an ass. And he's like,
Suzanne,
well, so are you,
like,
but you still can't say that, you know, and here's why. Here's, you know, people are going to lose you because from here to there, you know, they don't know what you're talking about. And he's really helped me understand sort of how at least you communicate with listeners so they follow your thread, whether you want to ad lib or not or here or there. And I started to get it, so that was great. Suzanne, I've known for a long time, just being on the Brooks and Dunn side. You know, it was really fun. And when it got down to writing, that's always a problem with these shows because the way it works is, like, on Friday, I'll get sort of all the notes from what happened to people, you know, last week. And so it's basically research, but it's also kind of put together because I did learn in the early going, you can't just wing it. You know, you want it to be conversational, and you do have you do need the flexibility to wing it, but you can't just wing it doing a show with this much music that's this tight and this together. You don't have time. You know, it's not like a morning show where you can just shoot the bull and whatever till a commercial comes up.
Right.
You got to get this music in there. Your fans want, listeners want information on a show like this.
Program directors, we always, you know, listen to the radio folks out there, and we were doing 40, but that 31 to 40 is an area of people that sometimes never ever see the top 30, and their songs they never ever play. So it became very entertaining.
That is
because since I do the chart, once it gets over 30, it seems to like over that bump,
has
right?
momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And listeners, they like hearing the stories and what's going on with those artists that they're hearing on the radio all week. And they're like, oh, that's what that's about. Or that, oh, you did that with, and hopefully that's where I can interject. So Suzanne will write this stuff for on Friday. She'll pass it off to me, and then I'll go read, and, oh, that happened to Tim this week. Well, I remember when Tim and I were on the road, and this happened that, you know. So then during the week, then I'll write down all that stuff. When I do the show on Monday, when we actually tape it, I might be winging some stuff, but I have it in front of me. I've thought about it, you know, also. So hopefully this show's better and it's a little tighter, so I'm not just mumbling around and trying to get my thoughts together on this.
And also, one of the things that is a real plus for our show is that Kix is actually out there hanging with these people, doing shows, right. And he knows them personally, and he comes in with, like, you know, I was just up in Calgary with Aaron Watson. And he's a great guy. And so those insights from a personal perspective are something that nobody else has in the countdown business.
Recording it on Mondays, the chart is done on Monday. So that's a pretty very tight fresh. Process.
It's a run and gun. And Jim and I, we sit, and you'll email me, you're sitting across me, the actual chart, the top 30. So we get that at 8 o'clock. We'll hurry up, kind of finesse what we've already started on. So Kix already has his notes and where everything's going to go. So we just rearrange and
organizing
it's,
the.
Yeah.
It's interesting because.
It all together like a puzzle.
The chart is 60 positions, and. So it's really important for them to get to 30 to get all to start getting played on your countdown mm-hmm. show.
But if somebody's fixing to have a baby, you know, it's like, Suzanne, is she going to have that baby this week? Because if you say on Monday they're about to have a baby and the baby comes on Wednesday, your listeners are like, where are you? What planet are you on?
And that's one of the things where we have to really kind of be careful of how we word things. The baby might be here. The baby might not
so
be here.
So you never – I've heard you on the podcast say we're actually recording this on – Tuesday, I think, right? And so you never do that on the show, though. Say we're recording it, blah, blah, blah.
No, never on the countdown. But in the podcast, we do. And that's another thing, kind of an extension for all three
kicking
of us.
Because
with Kicking It with Kix, and that's on KixBrooksRadio.com. So we kind of have a little fun.
With the show,
a little
we
bit
don't let
loose.
Them behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Okay, so really quick, Brooks and Dunn, 20 Billboard number one singles, 41 top tens. In each category, that's most of any duo in history.
Huh.
Did you pay attention to the charts?
Of course.
When you were outside?
I couldn't have told you that. Of course, I think we have an album. Is it 21 number ones and then some? So it was only 20? Must have been a Music Row chart
or
something.
You could have had another one on another chart.
that was the Gavin. Can we say that?
Yeah.
The Gavin
Back
report.
When the Gavin was in, yeah.
And Radio and Records. Remember when that was out as well? That was a big... Well,
but yeah, of course. I mean, if you're in the business, that's. I mean, and as much for anything, there's so many people that are involved. I mean, Chris Jansen was just saying, I don't know how many people he had with him, but you've got your record label, and you got your promotion team, you got your management team, you got your songwriters. Everybody's. It's a victory, to get to number one is still a very exciting thing. It's something to really cheer about, and you have big parties here and. Yes, we watch the charts, and that's, you watch them go up.
We all listened to countdowns when we were kids, Casey Kasem. Why is it such a staple in Americana, in every format, every genre? Why do you guys think that? It's such a popular thing.
I think because we have so much interest. You hear these songs throughout the week, randomly played on country radio, but then when you have... a host like Kix counting down the top 30, you get the stories behind those artists. You get to get a little bit more.
It's like a game show.
It's a little bit more involved than your everyday,
number one. What's
every
number
week
one?
Thing.
What's number one?
And the excitement, of who's going to go number one? Who's going to hold?
It's sort of like having an award show every week.
Yeah, that's a good example.
People love award shows. And you're sitting there going, is my artist going to win this week? And if your artist keeps going up the chart, it's like, I think that's a hit. I think it can make it, And so people, you have these fans, and we hear from them week after week. They listen week after week, and they're pulling for their artists.
How often do you hear from them?
Mm-hmm,
300 stations, how do you hear from them?
And here's another thing.
Email?
Yeah, website.
Nikita puts up the chart every weekend and they look at the chart, and these people that all of a sudden, hey, where's the chart? They get, I mean, they're vicious.
They're on it. And we also get it. You know, well, yes, an email is the way through Kix's website, also through through a Facebook page. So they want to know. And if, and oftentimes I'll come across emails sometimes where people, if they miss the countdown, they want a copy of the countdown sent to them because they weren't able to listen that weekend. So exactly. The fans
That's
and
fantastic.
Listeners are very involved.
I'm glad Lonnie mentioned Nikita because she's the fourth member of the team.
Yeah.
Big
so
there's four
the
of
glue,
you.
The glue.
Yes. She's the one that keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
You know, we had, I think we had four number ones in a year. And Ronnie and I were fortunate. They were probably.
At four in a row, the first four in a row,
right.
I think.
Except for Next Broken Heart, our most recognizable songs with Brand New Man, Neon Moon, and Boot Scoot and Boogie. I mean, we had My Maria and Red Dirt Road and some, you know, obviously some other things down the road. But that was a great launching pad. And I only bring that up not to pat myself on the back, but we had a set list together. Within 2 years. Now think, because then we had nine songs that were either number ones or top fives. That's pretty much a set. So for somebody like Reba or Strait or the people that were getting us to open up for them, within 2 years, we had nine hits to wow. play as an opening act. So, you know, there's a career launched. Now you talk about Chris Young or well, we can mention lots of songs, but that's a great example. So there's a year for one song. I mean, how long is that going to take to have nine songs for a set list? So, which means those acts that's that are out point. There, they're either playing songs that you don't know, mm-hmm. which most people don't want to hear if you're an opening act,
Copy.
Or they're playing a bunch of covers that, you know, the best they can that they played in clubs or whatever like that. So it's a lot from one standpoint, if you can hang in there, if you're that good, and you have that kind of catalog, people really know it, and you really build a real strong fan base. Because when songs were bouncing up and down the charts, a lot of times you had one act that had one or two singles out that went up and down, and you forgot about them, you forgot about the songs, and a lot of those careers didn't happen.
How do you guys keep your personal taste out of it, or do you?
I don't.
I was going to say, I don't think Kix has to because, I mean, he's out there, like Lonnie had said. He's experiencing the music, and he's out there with these artists, and he's got his own opinion.
But I don't put anybody down because mm-hmm. I don't not like, this is in all sincerity, I don't not like anything in the top 30. Hmm. I mean, I can't think of a song. Now, I like songs. Some songs
better
touch me. You know, some songs I go, even songs that are clever, even songs that you say, that sounds like something else. It's like, no, being a songwriter, I catch rhymes and internal rhymes and turn of a phrase, and I'm like, that's really well done. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily going to buy that album, but I get that. You know, that's great. Really well crafted. It's fun. That's cool. And then you have songs like, you know, I always bring up, you know, I Drive Your Truck or The House That Built Me or those songs that I'm like, that's freaking quality.
And there's
you know,
no negativity in the countdown.
No, because there's nobody I'm going to tee up on. I mean,
no, I know you wouldn't on the air on your show, but I'm just thinking in general, there's got to be songs that crack through.
If I really like something, then I say it. I love this song. I love the way this guy sings or whatever. And I don't say that about all of it.
Okay. I think our approach too, and I think early on when I came in to work with all of you guys, the consensus was, you know, when a song starts moving down the chart, we're very careful to how we approach that and how we say that. It's very much let's
and
ease
dated
on down.
Stuff okay, as and that well. leads me to say, sometimes songs disappear.
Yeah.
I know that. So, do you sometimes get it's calls like where did that song go?
Yeah, I think we do see emails on that. I do.
What was the song that? somebody got all upset. Wasn't it a Miranda song?
It was the Miranda song, Vice, that Vice, just went yes. away at 10. And that was another chart we were working with at that time. But all of a sudden, it just was pulled. It just disappeared. And we've gotten a lot of emails at the time about that. But oftentimes, too, now that we're working with the Billboard chart, we'll see songs drop off the chart and then come back in.
They will
and
re-enter.
And they re-enter.
Like
yeah.
So California just did.
With Big and Rich, California. Personally, I think it's an incredible song. So to see it drop off and come back in, how do we approach that on the countdown? It's, you know, we just say...
We don't usually say
a re-entry.
This one is going away. We never go into that.
Yeah. I was just wondering what listeners say, because do they ask, like, what happened to my favorite song?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we hear
the
from
ones
them.
They're really invested in. Something like Vice and Miranda has a rabid group of fans, so... More so that.
Is the new one from her going to make it to the top?
I'm keeping my
fingers crossed.
It's
kind of slow, but maybe so. It's
you know,
very emotional.
I think, you know, Carly Pierce, this song.
Every Little Thing, yeah.
Every
just
Little
Thing.
Top 10.
Every little thing. I remember every little thing. The hide, the hurt, the shine, the sting. Every little
I mean, who would have figured? Yeah. With no girls making it in the top 30, you got Kelsey Ballerini, you got Miranda, you got Carrie Underwood, and then it's like once in a blue moon, maybe with a duet or something, you know. But when first time I heard that song, I'm like, really infectious. No way that radio has this in the jammed in between Jason and Luke. You know, but that song is, you know, it's the little engine that could. And it's great to see. It makes you scratch your head going, how does this one make it? And all these other songs, because I love her, and I think the song is really unique and cool. And it sounds better and better every time you hear it. Suzanne, yeah, do you root for the females to break through?
Absolutely. Listen, see, already it's starting with Lonnie.
We've had one number one so far in 2017, Lauren Elena.
And it's that's disgusting to me. I mean, coming from radio, and I think
why?
We could talk about this.
It was a great song.
No, the fact that... All right. See, this is what happens. This is what happens when I'm.
I heard you guys talking about it on the podcast. So.
Well, Jim is used to be my program director up in New York for a year. So, I mean, you know, we look back in the 90s to compare to today. I don't understand why it has become such an issue to see women getting airplay. So, do I root for the women? Absolutely. Would I love to see more women in the top 30? Hands down. Do they deserve it? Absolutely.
How come only one this year so far?
I think we need to ask all the programmers. I think we need to ask the consultants. I think we need to ask the heads of record labels. What's going on? Why is this happening?
Okay. What do you think, Jim? I did a podcast with Ray Lynn, and we talked about it for a good amount of time because that first single of hers I thought was
Love Triangle.
Really yeah. good and thought it would break through. Because I'm not in radio anymore, I don't know. I do know when I was in radio. Suzanne may argue with me here, but I would always look at it as a great song is a great song. Whether it's male, female, group, duo, or whatever, it doesn't matter to me. A great song is a great song, and I don't look at, like, should we add a male or a female this week? You had the best songs, and that's what I've always
doesn't
thought.
Doesn't Little Big Town get considered female?
No.
Well, Jimmy's singing the new single.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's fair. I mean, that's how desperate we are that we're having to look at groups or trios
Lady
with
Anna
a female
Bellum.
Voice. I don't think that's right. We're looking at solo female artists in country music.
So they don't have any female input on.
The new Marin may go to number one.
Yeah, but like 80s Mercedes, I love that
Me
song.
Too. Me
I
too.
I don't understand why that didn't go further.
Right. There's a lot of head scratchers on that.
And when she was on Jimmy Fallon last week, she didn't do the single. She did Rich off the record, which is interesting to me. Like, why not do the single now that you want to push it through?
Well, she's also going on tour with the pop artists, so...
She is?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's going out with Niall Horan from One Direction for 2018. They're going to be touring together. She did a duet with him on his album. I thought it was interesting. Here we have a female country artist who's finally rising and getting some airplay with this song, and we're hoping she's going to break through, and then she goes out with a pop artist.
But I think, you know, I don't think that's her going pop. I think it's just, I think it does show a little bit a sign of the time. If I'm not going to have... acceptance because a genre is really not for whatever reason, like you say, we can sit here and you know all my opinions on this.
whatever reasons country females are not getting that airplay. She's like, okay, I like this guy. I like, you know, there's an audience here that I think is going to dig my music. I'm not going to play by the old school, the normal rules of here's what you do if you're a female country artist. You go to this station and this station and this station and whatever. It's like, I'm just going to go tour. I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to try and keep my social media going. And you're going to see a lot of lines blurred here. If females are not, if the traditional way of breaking a female act is not going to work, if country radio is only playing one or two female acts are going to start doing different stuff to try and get some traction and sell some CDs, get some play, and have a career.
Yeah, I don't fault her for that at all. Yeah. I think it's great. She needs to do what she needs to do as an artist.
But I don't
artist.
Think she's announcing like Taylor Swift,
I'm a pop artist or whatever. No,
she's
no.
like, I'm an artist.
What about
that's what
Casey
she's
going
doing.
Out with Katy Perry?
Well, that's, you know, Casey's the same thing. They're Casey from the same camp. You know, they're just going to go have some fun. Casey's Casey. You know, she's not
Casey
like
Casey Musgraves.
Casey
yeah.
Musgraves. She's been around for a long time, but she hasn't really had the support at all from
radio.
But
she's not
so
a traditional country act either, you know, any more than Brandi Clark or that whole bunch of fun girls that are just great freaking songwriters and
but
Angelina Presley.
She gets recognized
that
artistically.
But isn't yeah. Casey's music more traditional country than a lot of
It's retro.
Stuff.
It's not even traditional. It's... You know, it's maybe got some traditional chord
Texas
changes
music,
and
maybe.
Stuff like that, but it's to me it's very retro and it's kind of
it's you know what I think
retro pop hip yeah. country. You know,
it's just you wasn't getting the support from the get go. Yeah. So what do you do as an artist when and we've discussed this in our podcast? You know, you see them getting national television exposure. They're on all these television networks and major outlets and national syndicated TV shows, but country radio just won't support.
Now Stapleton's had one top 10 so far. Nobody
Everybody
to blame.
Loves him,
the
though.
New one seems to be breaking through now. Broken Halos. Do you think that one has a chance?
Sing my share of broken halos, folding wings that used to fly. They've all gone wherever they go. Broken halos that used to shine.
You know, he is, and I like to say he's an anomaly. He's just, he's almost like the Jimmy Buffett of country music. Mm-hmm. I mean, does he really need radio airplay? He's selling, he's what, how many number one, he's been at number one for his album.
His new album is the only album in all genres that sold 500,000 already this year.
Yeah. And what kind of radio airplay?
Only got two up-tempo songs
yeah.
on it.
And no really support from country radio on that.
At
album.
The same time, you know, Chris is, of course, I've known Chris forever. We've written a bunch of songs together. I've been flying his flag since the first time I heard that guy sing, and everybody in town saying that, but that's really the truth. Why country radio wouldn't play Traveler, I can't tell you. I think that guy's just, his voice is like Greg Allman to me. Mm-hmm. It is so nice to listen to. He is just so freaking good. And, you know, I mean, Hank Jr. had a great career. It's like there was, especially that album, I mean, Nobody to Blame is just a in-the-pocket, great freaking country song. I mean, again, it's like, why wouldn't you play that guy?
Right.
What could possibly keep you from playing Chris Stapleton? It's even, especially those two songs. I mean, Tennessee Whiskey's getting tons of downloads. I can see why there's some pushback on that. This new album, Chris really doesn't care, you know, and he's never really cared, and it's why you haven't heard him on the radio. But I think country radio really kind of missed the boat, not giving him some more airplay on that first album. But this record, he turned that off, and he just did what he wanted to do. And I hope this song gets some play. But this album is much less radio friendly.
Have you ever interviewed him about that, you guys?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What's he say?
He doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He just makes music he likes, and you know this record. He wanted to do what he does live, and you know, which most acts have tried to do that unsuccessfully in the past. But Chris does not care. He about that. He's not worried about country airplay. He's having a huge career. He couldn't be any hotter.
I know.
As
an example, I thought Traveler should have followed Nobody to Blame, even though because the Traveler was out as a single prior to a CMA performance.
Yeah.
Then Nobody to Blame came, and Traveler was such a great song that would have been to come back with it because artists have done
that. You could have re-released it. Yeah.
Chris Young did that with a...
If you were program directors, would you be playing Broken Halos on your station?
If you're a country programmer? I like the song he played at the ACMs.
Would you play Broken Halos?
I think I would give him the support. Yeah. It's Chris Stapleton.
What's
he's one of the
mean?
Biggest things. I would
You'll
play the single.
Add it into overnights?
No. I give it five spins at 3 a.m. No.
All right. I'm taking a kick. How about you? Would you put it in a light rotation?
Well, I would. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because how do you... I mean, it's not that often that country music has an act, that our genre has an act that is that hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's as hot as any pop act out there.
I was going to say he transcends this genre.
We've got a big star. I mean, it's like Zach Brown or Eric Church or whatever. I mean, cut him some slack and support.
How do you guys decide what to talk about on your podcast every week?
This laugh hard to tell.
I'm glad I had a funny joke.
Well, Suzanne usually has some good ideas, but then I usually tee up.
Do you just go in and ham it up?
Well,
it's almost like a Seinfeld-esque kind of thing.
We used to talk for a half an hour, 45 minutes before we ever got started anyway. We said, let's just record it.
Yeah.
I can talk about Kix's ability for any artist that is listening right now who has not been interviewed by Kix, and I actually borrowed this once, your technique once, and I got in so much trouble for it. But when you sit down in front of a microphone and you're in Kix's studio and you start talking, you are on. That is happening. The interview is taking place. You should know that. So that's typically how the podcast
starts. How did you get
in
trouble, Suzanne?
I'm not going to say the artist that I did it with, but we sat down in front of the camera and we started talking. And she halfway through said, is this the interview? And I said, well, yeah, we're just talking. She says, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. Got up, and left the set.
Seriously?
Just left the set.
Wow.
And I thought, you're not Kix. You never, never, ever try that again. So from that point on, with every interview, I go, okay, we're going to start rolling. Are you ready? And I'll give it a three count before we go.
Am open for guest hosting duties, by the way.
Oh, good.
I know, Kix, you wanted to ask, so I was, I thought it might be uncomfortable
we'll
for you. So
mind, yeah.
I just, thanks.
Perfect.
Lonnie.
When you start to fall, you hold on to your pride. Start building up your walls and never let her get inside. You'll push her away, cause that's all you know how to do. And then she'll leave, and you won't beg her not to go.
Last question, is this Garth Brooks song going to go to number one?
I don't know.
It seems like it's been hanging out in the teens. I would love to see it, but I don't know if radio is going to do that.
It's higher than any song since More Than a Memory, his last number one in 2007.
I think
in 2007.
There's ear fatigue going on there. I think it's just so long on the chart.
Kix, do you like when the heritage artists break through, or that doesn't really matter?
Yeah, I just don't think, honestly speaking, I think as far as radio is concerned, our day is come and gone. I'm glad to say that there's still a great fan base out there, and it's still fun to play those songs, and it's still fun to see a full theater at the Coliseum and Caesar's Palace every night. So,
nice.
At some point, that's the way of the world. It's excitement. I still love James Taylor and Bruce Springsteen, and I could mention 20 other artists that, and George Strait. But, it's like there's an excitement that comes with an act breaking and fans getting behind it and pushing and making their artists famous and all that and whatever. And then after a while, it's not that you can't still do it or make good music, but it's like you're looking for something new and exciting. That's just with all things. That's just kind of the way of the world, and there's no reason to have your heart broken if you've had an amazing career and you, you got to see your dream come true. You know, thank your many blessings and continue to enjoy your life.
She's making it sound like I should retire.
This is a lot. This is
for all of us.
I was talking actually to you, Jim.
I came here for a job at your winery.
I'm telling you, for $50 a day, you can drink all you want, and we'll give you a job as a drinker, and you'll do great out there, I'm sure.
You could have Jim as a pourer just standing out there in the parking lot.
I spill a lot, as you know.
You do spill a lot.
Kix owns a great wine. It's one of my favorite spots here in Middle Tennessee, Arrington Vineyards. So I just had to mention that before we leave.
It is a beautiful place, yeah.
So let's all go. All right. Anyway, I love the show. Congratulations on all your success, the three of you. Thank you for taking starting to use the Billboard charts again. And I wish you all the success.
Personally,
we have a great team. I would like to say that.
You know what I will say? You know, I am
on the team now since Suzanne is texting me 55,000 times a week about the charts. So I am actually on the team.
Well, we're not so sure about you.
There's so much info that we are able to tap into having Billboard now working with us, which is a joy to have all this information now to help make the show a little bit better and give more information to those who are listening. So we have access to that.
But it's more work.
Do you know that the country airplay chart was started in 1990, right around the same time that you guys were Brooks and Dunn was breaking through.
Wow. Well,
that pretty much sums it up. There's so much information that I have to call you 20 times a day. And I'm like, eh.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been a joy with Kix and Suzanne and Lonnie, the American Country Countdown. This is Jim Asker on the Billboard Chart Beat Podcast.
All the 17 said I'm getting out of Dodge. All the big dreams said I'm selling all I got. Placing their bets. Me, I'm headed south, 'cause all the pretty girls say I'm home for the summer. Shoot out the lights. Don't blow my cover, or I'm free tonight. I'm coming over. Call all your friends. Somebody hold me. All the pretty girls say all of the whiskey.
That's this week's number one song on Billboard's Country Airplay chart by Kenny Chesney. All the pretty girls playing that because we're just talking with Kix Brooks and Suzanne Alexander and Lonnie Napier from American Country Countdown. So number one song of the week. Let's flash back this week to, what are we flashing back to, Trevor?
We're going to take a little parallel journey this week. We're going to talk about one song, but multiple iterations. So obviously there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world, unfortunately, stemming and sort of circling all, of course, back to the events in Las Vegas, unfortunately. So when we were looking this week for a flashback, kind of noticed a song that at this point in time twice was in the top 10 in two separate years. That song is going to be an old classic, an old Motown classic from, I think, one of the forgotten groups of the era, unfortunately. Not a Supremes, not a Temptations, but it's Martha and the Vandellas. And the song was a number two hit this week back in 1964. And that is the one, the only, Dancing in the Street.
Producer Yemi doing the dance.
Yeah.
Good Motown moves there.
You could have been, you know, on the Yemi and the Yemets or something.
You know? Yemets. I don't, that's not a, you have to have something different, like something like spicy.
We'll throw it back to the A&R marketing group, see what they can come up with.
Yeah.
But yes, huge hit, 1964. Number two, it's the highest the Martha and the Vandellas will hit on Hot 100. Also, I think people probably also know some of their other hit songs, Heat Wave. Classic from that same era, Jimmy Mack, Nowhere to Run. So one of the groups that had a strong hit run of hits, but I think unfortunately, like I kind of mentioned, in history books, not quite as well known as the Supremes or the Temptations, Jackson 5, or any of those acts.
I think people know that song. If they maybe don't know the act as well, I think everybody knows that song.
For sure. One of the classic feel-good songs really of any era. And the song has been so memorable and such a fun thing to celebrate on many occasions that we've seen the song come back a couple times. The biggest remake of the song came in 1985, courtesy of probably a very unlikely pair to redo this track, but we're talking David Bowie and Mick Jagger, who took the song to number 7 on the Hot 100 this same week in 1985. So this is a good week to be dancing in the street, apparently. The poll for the Chart Beat poll of the day. Which version do you like better?
Whose style do you like better?
That's what I'm just curious. Maybe you don't like them better. We can at least appreciate the differences.
I think that's more what it is. I think there's probably just something about the original that just totally captures that Motown sound. But I think maybe the remake's a little kitschier. It's kind of just it's a little goofier in some ways. But just to hear Bowie and Mick Jagger on a song together, and it's kind of rare that Mick Jagger had this was his biggest solo hit. He hasn't done much solo, which is kind of weird when you think about it.
Well, luckily he's got a pretty lucrative gig somewhere else as well.
He still tours with that band sometimes.
Right? You know, they bring in a handful of change here and there.
Which version do you like better?
I'm gonna front off that question. I kind of like. I mean, there's something about the original that's kind of nice because I think in particular, when you look at the context of when the original was put out, 1964, in Motown, I mean, this is, there's so much turmoil going on with civil rights movement, obviously, in full steam. A lot of riots, a lot of unrest and unsettling in the country, I think. I think there's something certainly in Martha's voice that really understands the weight of that song and what they were trying to go after that makes it that much more compelling. I think, like you said, like the remake in 85, it definitely has a fun element to it. Like especially the tag team of, you know.
And the video, they're just going all out on 80s fashion.
Oh, 100%. And so there's something kind of nice to remember that, even though, as with a lot of songs, they're sort of feel good. They got, high in tempo, quick in tempo, should I say. Just kind of fast-paced and feel good hand clap kind of things, but they're really about some real issues that really people have to address what's going on. Last question I want to ask: so we saw the remake in 1985 with Bowie and Jagger. If you had to pick two artists today, who would do a who think it'd be a nice tag team to remake the song? Because obviously there's so much happening in the world today that maybe we do need a little dancing in the street.
Two male artists?
It doesn't have to be. That can be part of the. I mean, that can be part of the plot.
What's the criteria to make it a hit, or what would be?
Just two. If two artists had to cover it, let's just say. I mean, just say whether it's an award show tribute, whether it's a commercial single, just who do you think would do a good job? Who brings the right kind of energy to it?
Well, let me answer it this way. It's kind of interesting how Martha and the Vandellas. The song was a hit in '64. That's when the Rolling Stones were. In their early years as a band.
Yeah.
So then he winds up covering it 21 years later, solo. Yeah. It's almost like if one of the members of One Direction covered a Fifth Harmony song 20-something years from now. Follow that logic?
Yes, I got the pattern.
So there's my answer. Two guys from One Direction covering two Fifth Harmony.
Pick your favorite two.
2037.
Okay. If I had to pick two people, I'm going to say, I think there's a little bit of significance, for sure. If Ariana Grande is on the track, I think she's got the right kind of sprightly voice for it. And of course, given what happened in her concert in Manchester, I think that gives it, a little more interesting weight behind it. Certainly someone who's been affected by this in a way that probably most other artists have not. And if I had to pick a duet partner for Ariana Grande, I'm going to say, this one's the tough one. Part of me wants to say Justin Timberlake based on how well he sort of handled Can't Stop the Feeling. Like he can turn he can turn any moment into a feel good,
Let's well, he have had a that good time with Michael Jackson for the virtual duet a few years ago, too, and that really worked.
Yeah, 100%. My other option probably is Bruno Mars because Bruno shows up and he turns into a party. And plus he's got that right kind of like middle of the road pop sensibility, but obviously we saw some of the more funk with him. I think they could turn out a good version of the song.
How about a total We Are the World type all-star version of this just for positivity out in the world right now? Could go to so many charities. Real happy, upbeat. You hear a verse with Bruno, Ariana. You could get everybody on there.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, like, it's a two-minute song, so that's a lot of voices to slam in. But, yeah, I mean, that's not a bad idea. Maybe we need to go out and pitch this to somebody. If you're listening,
we have a lot of label executives on the podcast. If you guys are actually listening to a show on which you weren't a guest, some good suggestion, right?
So we'll be looking forward to talking about that song hitting the top 10 in about 3 months. So,
Dancing in the Street 2017.
Just let me know. I'll just take a 10% cut. That's all we need.
Say it loud and there's music playing. Say it soft and it's almost like praying.
Clip right there of Almost Like Praying by Lin-Manuel Miranda and so many other guests that were joking about a modern-day We Are the World, we really should mention. There is one going to charities and could have a really pretty nice debut on the Hot 100 next week, just wanted to mention real quick.
Yeah, so of course we mentioned kind of some of the things that have been affecting the music world. Obviously Tom Petty passing, of course the events that happened in Las Vegas last week. Also, of course, need to give a shout-out to Lin-Manuel Miranda and grabbing a lot of his friends, particularly a lot of Puerto Ricans, for this song, which is benefiting the efforts after Hurricane Maria really has devastated the island and still so many people without access to food and water and electricity. So that song is doing huge wonders out there, and particularly still selling strong, number one on iTunes virtually all week since it's come out last Friday. And I know Lin-Manuel has been incredibly active on Twitter, asking people to obviously purchase the song for the proceeds, but also engaging with his fans that a lot of times he has his little sort of challenges or whatnot, that if certain playlists get to certain peaks, he'll sort of reveal some of his college drag J-Lo pictures out there. So whatever it takes to get the people to move, he's definitely there. And so great effort. He's really been spearheading so much of this. So shout out to him. And, of course, we'll see how the song fares next week on the Hot 100 as well.
Yeah, early projections. It could be the number one selling song of the week next week. So yeah, we'll see how the streams are. We'll see if there's airplay for it. Songs like this tend to be more driven by sales and streams, but could have a good debut next week. So we'll be tracking that for next week.
And also want to mention another song that is doing well for Puerto Rico, also Mi Gente, the Beyonce version. From what I understand, a lot of those proceeds, if not all of them, as well from the Beyonce remix, are also going towards the hurricane relief efforts. And, you know, she actually mentions, even in the song lyrics and the part that she has in English, talking about, you know, helping out Texas and Mexico and Puerto Rico and these places that have been devastated by these events in the past couple months. So really, you know, really great to see the communities come together and really use their power and their platform and their influence to help people who truly, truly are in need.
All right, that is this week's Billboard Chartbeat podcast. Can we close with one more Tom Petty song, Trevor?
I was gonna suggest we play a Beyonce song, but I suppose
actually we can do both. Both.
This is a Beyonce Tom Petty duet.
There's a mashup by DJ Airworm in 2008, 2009. If I Were a Free Fallen Boy, you ever hear this?
No.
It mixes If I Were a Boy and Free Fallen. You really hear how similar they are.
I've never heard this, but apparently I'm going to hear it now. So
a little something for everybody.
In honor of our two chart superstars this week.
I can't get with who I wanted, and I never could confront it for
I'm
it.
Hmm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.